There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're pleased to look now at a region of the world that shares a time zone with 60% of the world's population. If it was a country in its own right, it would be in the world's top 10. It has 12,500 kilometres of coastline, and it's closer to Singapore than it is to its own capital of Canberra. We're talking, of course, about Western Australia, the state of Western Australia. And we're honoured to have with us in the studio the Honourable Mark McGowan, Premier of Western Australia. Good morning to you, Mark. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Listen, astonishing figures relating to the sheer magnitude of Western Australia, but it's also a very busy state as well. I mean, it accounts for 48% of Australia's exports to the UAE, 75% of Australia's imports from the UAE. And I was trying to think about those. Those figures are really amazing when you think that, you know, it's kind of the eastern side of Australia and Melbourne that really sort of do a lot of the sort of the harder business, if you like. 75% of Australia's imports from the UAE go to Western Australia. I can only imagine meats and grains coming this way and oil making the opposite journey there. I mean, but that's a fairly superficial view. Drill down a bit more for us on what goes where.
Okay, well, Western Australia is the most economically successful state of Australia. We're 2.6 million people, but we have a landmass about the size, nearly the size of India. So it's a very large area, and it's very strong in mining, in software engineering and tourism, in higher education, in a whole range of commercial services, a very strong local economy, in fact, one of the strongest in the world. In terms of our relationship with the UAE, we actually export a lot of alumina to the UAE because we are a strong mining state. So it's not just iron ore, it's not just LNG, it's not just gold, but alumina, nickel, lithium, all those sorts of mineral products as well. So export a lot of alumina, wheat, lamb, and actually vegetables. You know, if you eat a carrot here, it's probably come from Western Australia, or if you have some orange juice, it's probably come from Western Australia. So we do all that, and we import a lot of crude oil products from the UAE. So we actually import more from the UAE to Western Australia than we export to the UAE, but it is a very strong trading relationship that's been built up over the last 15 or 16 years.
I was also supposed to visit, well, West Australia is the biggest wheat and barley growing state in Australia. I assume that the conditions would be a little bit sort of easier on wheat in places like Victoria, but tourism also very, very big for your state. You've got the Margaret River, Fremantle, beautiful remote beaches, some adventurous remote northern places, but you haven't really got those headline attractions that maybe Sydney, Melbourne, Alice Springs, Queensland have got, you know, the Barrier Reef, etc. Is it harder to sell Western Australia as a tourist destination than perhaps other Australian states?
Well, we don't have the iconic Sydney Harbour Bridge or the Sydney Opera House, but what we do have is a destination which is far closer to the UAE and far closer to the Middle East. So to get to Western Australia from here is only about 9 hours. So, you know, you have a sleep and you watch a movie and you're there. So we got 3 flights a day from UAE. So Emirates 2 flights, 1 Etihad flight. It's actually a very, very pleasant place. Anyone who goes there will find that it's got a lot of things to do and see.
Pictures look wonderful. I mean, I'll say, are most of your tourists Aussies or from overseas?
Well, we have a lot of homegrown tourists, so it's West Australians who holiday at home, but also there is a large international tourism industry. We have 10 new hotels being built, Ritz-Carlton, Western, a whole bunch of those being built currently in Perth. And of course, if you want to get out of Perth, we actually have the best wine-growing region in the world, I think, and Margaret River area, the Swan Valley, close to the city. There's lots and lots to do, and it's a very pleasant, relaxing experience.
Let's talk a little bit more about that 9 to 10 hour flight to Perth. I mean, that is significantly shorter than if you were going to Melbourne from here, say, or Sydney, which means it's significantly shorter from other parts of the world as well. What advantage does that give you over some of those other Australian cities?
Well, certainly it's better for doing business and it's better for tourism purposes. So if you want to take your family on a holiday, it's far better. It also means far more West Australians will come to the UAE on holiday. So, you know, it works both ways. It is actually a fairly long hike to get to Sydney from here. Perth is the natural gateway into Australia. So if you want to actually have a holiday or do business with Australia, Perth is the gateway.
What about when it comes to attracting businesses in to set up their Australian or their Australasian HQ? I mean, what is the competition like between different states?
Well, the states are competitive, but our advantage is we're in the Asian time zone, so we're the same time zone as China, for instance. We already have strong trading relationships with China, Japan, Korea and the like. We have an office established here in the UAE, and our GoWA office is available to assist businesses if they want to establish in Western Australia. And for instance, during the course of this visit, I've met with a range of businesses who are interested in that, because Western Australia is the natural, and Perth is the natural commercial hub. And also, most of the major mining companies of the world are established in Western Australia, and some of them have their major headquarters, to be honest with you, in WA. So it has a lot of similarities with the UAE.
How many tourists are you getting from the Middle East?
Good question. I don't have that figure in my head, but I think it's growing.
I know that Australia in general has managed to grow its long-haul visitors massively over the last year. It was one of the few countries that actually posted a double-digit increase in long-haul visitors. We were speaking a few months ago to the Australian Minister for Trade and Tourism. What do you think that's on the back of? Why do you think that Australia has managed to buck the trend that a lot of other countries have seen a decline?
Because it's a unique experience. It's safe. It's very enjoyable. The hotels are high quality. The restaurants are outstanding, and you can be close to a natural experience. My own constituency, I represent a constituency. You can actually go into Rockingham, just south of Perth. You can actually swim in the waters of Rockingham. You can swim with dolphins. So dolphins will swim up to you, and you can swim around with them.
Quick mention.
There's not many places in the world you can do that.
Also, quick mention, while we're talking about tourism things in Western Australia, I mean, the wildflower season in September around Perth, the quokkas on Rottnest Island as well. There's a lot to see and do.
There is. Those natural experiences are terrific. But we're more than just a tourism destination. We're a major commercial hub and a major agricultural and mining exporter. So we have a very diversified economy.
I open up by saying that, you know, Perth is actually closer to Singapore than it is to Canberra. And I've had friends in Perth who used to go to Bali on holiday because it was cheaper and closer than getting to, say, Melbourne or to Sydney as well. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage? You're kind of almost disconnected from the rest of Australia.
At times we are. I mean, it is closer to Bali to go on holidays, and I'm one of those people who's been to Bali many times on holidays. But the advantage is that we are very connected. So all of our major mining companies, for instance, have offices in Beijing, Shanghai, Tokyo. We have a lot of businesses with significant connections into the region, and that is the fastest growing region in the world, and everyone knows the Chinese economy continues to grow. So businesses in UAE or the wider Middle East, it's a great place to go.
Very pleased to have with us in the studio the Honourable Mark McGowan, Premier of Western Australia. Thanks for staying with us, Mark. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Now, listen, over the course of this show, the Business Breakfast has been running the 13 years or so, we've been talking about the Kimberleys and the Pilbara. In the early days, we didn't know much about them. They're just exotic names. But, of course, we began to learn about the mining interests there, the sort of the big Chinese resources demand, creating that demand. One effect that had on Western Australia was to drive house prices in Perth through the roof, as people sort of kind of spent the weekends in Perth, went up to the Pilbara's during the week, and the Kimberleys. Prices doubled, house prices doubled in Perth between 2004 and 2010. What have you done really to make it more affordable for residents who maybe didn't benefit from that resources boom? You're a Labour politician, so this sort of aspect of life would be very important to you. What have you done to try and encourage people back to the city?
Well, what's happened in the course of, say, the last 5 years is house prices stabilised, so they haven't really climbed a great deal. So the median house price for a home in Perth is now about $500,000. Mm. In Sydney, it's about $1 million. So it's about half the price. Housing is half the price of the Sydney or Melbourne. So that's made a big difference to people's lives, and it means we can people have less money being put into mortgage payments, which is always a good thing.
I guess that, you know, obviously back in 2005, you know, that big doubling of prices, salaries very rarely keep up with that sort of rise. I mean, have you seen people moving out to the suburbs away from the city centre?
Yes, we did. There was, but the city grew enormously because people were flooding into Western Australia because of all the jobs and opportunities that exist in my state. So a lot of people moved out to the suburbs or to regional towns, but the growth in the population was pretty extraordinary.
Let's have a little bit of a chat about what you're doing here in Dubai at the moment. I'm assuming that you'll be speaking to the people at Expo. What can you tell us about Australia's plans for Expo 2020?
Well, I've had a range of meetings here. I met with Sheikh Maktoum and Sir Tim Clark, who run Emirates yesterday, terrific airline, and range of flights running into Perth, range of other business meetings whilst here, held a major business lunch yesterday. But I had a briefing yesterday on Expo 2020. It looks fantastic. And they are doing such a good job, the people running it. I probably had an hour-long meeting. I'm sure Australia will participate. I think a decision from the Australian government has either been made or is imminent. There'll be a major stall or pavilion set up by the Australian government that will be part of it.
So Australia will take part?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Talk to us about your meeting with Sir Tim Clark, because we've got a couple of flights going direct from Dubai to Perth. Would you like to see more?
Oh, of course. This is a major airline hub. But we do have the two Emirates flights and the one Etihad flight. That's good for tourism, business trade, and also students. We'd like to see a growth in students. We have two universities established here in Dubai, Murdoch University and Curtin University, who actually have campuses here that train in all sorts of things. And, of course, that allows for that easier interaction between students and tourists and Western Australia. Look, the two flights a day is terrific. The Etihad flight is terrific. If the airlines would like to grow that, we'd more than welcome it.
Like, this talks with Sheikh Ahmed and Tim Clark, I mean, Emirates started its flight to Perth, what, about 15 years ago, and it obviously created a major bond between the two cities. But I'm wondering, with the extended range of modern aircraft and more demand for direct routes from Europe to Australia, I mean, what's your view on the probability of direct flights from Perth to London, Paris, Frankfurt, overflying the Middle East?
Well, there is actually one starting next month,
yeah.
A direct flight from Perth to London.
This is the kangaroo hop without the hop, isn't
it? Yeah, well, it's a big hop, yes. So that's a Qantas flight, but there's lots of demand, and there's an enormous population in Perth these days in Western Australia. I think that direct flight will probably be more for business rather than tourists, and I suspect the other flights will be become more tourism oriented.
What's the length of that flight from Perth?
It's 17 hours. So from Dubai to Perth is about 9. From Perth to London is 17.
Wow, it's something, isn't it?
Has the issue of a free trade agreement come up while you've been here? I realise it might not be purely your remit, but I note that a GCC Australian FTA has been on the table for quite some time. What would it mean for Western Australia for something to move on that?
Well, we're broadly supportive of free trade agreements because we are an open trading state. As was said at the start of the interview, Western Australia produces over 40% of the nation's exports. So we're an open trading state, so we would support arrangements that benefit the country. What's the prospects? You'd have to ask my federal colleagues. These things normally move at snail's pace, in my experience. But we're broadly supportive of them.
Just as we go to the end, I came across a piece of trivia yesterday, which I had no idea about. But we talked earlier about the size of Western Australia, which would be a top 10 sized country if it was independent. And actually, there was a bit of a movement towards independence back in 1933. 68% of Western Australians voted to secede from the Commonwealth of Australia, but the Commonwealth actually refused the request, and so it stayed part of Australia as well. I mean, you could be premier of a very wealthy and big independent country. Is there any remains of an independence movement in Western Australia?
Well, that would be, I'd be the Prime Minister, I suppose, or
yeah,
the President.
Exactly.
There is occasionally those sentiments, as you know, in federations there's always stresses and strains, but that's never going to happen, and we're proud Australians, and whilst we have our differences with the eastern states, we're all part of the one Commonwealth.
Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for coming in to talk to us, Honourable Mark McGowan, Premier of Western Australia. Fascinating stuff to learn there. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your stay in Dubai.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.